Welcome to Design Party Podcast, your one-stop shop for everything product design. I'm your host, Antonia, and with me is...
Hi.
Helena. Long time no see. It's super nice to do a podcast episode with you. It's been a while. How are you?
It's been a while, and we, again, literally say this every time. So every time we meet, it's long time no see. So hi.
Because it's the truth. We meet together, just you and I, maybe like once in 2 months or something like that. Maybe even in 3 months.
It is true. It is true. Actually, it is true, yeah.
I wish we would have a bit more time to do this more often, but unfortunately, we are productivity maniacs and we can't find time.
That's true. And we work in different time zones, so...
It's only 1 hour difference. Come on.
No, but my work is in the US time zone.
Oh, I see,
So that's why I'm usually free during the day. And you're free after the working hours.
Oh, now I get it. Because I always wondered, like, why do you propose me time when I have to work? Like, what the hell with this?
Now I don't have to work then.
So you have to be a night owl because of your job.
No, I wouldn't call it a night owl. I finish work at 7 p.m., so it's kind of sustainable. I don't mind it because then I literally shifted my day. Everything that people do after work, I do in the morning, and I start around 10:30, 11. So I just go to the store in the morning, and then the stores are empty, and it's awesome.
Well, I could see this having like a buttload of benefits. But I have to say, I'm just mentally wired. After 5 hits, my brain is like, okay, you're done. Now you can do fun stuff, hobbies, everything that makes you happy. And if I would have to have this gong, okay, now you start working. Even though I had the whole day of fun, I would still feel bad. I don't know if that makes sense.
It does make sense. And you do adjust after some time. So I've been working like this for a couple of years now, and it took me some time. This is, I think, the first year that I'm actually enjoying it completely. And I'm the most productive between 5 and 7. It's so weird. Like, until 5 is just like, let's get this going. I should probably do something boring, but I have to do it. I don't have to do it. And then 5 to 7, I'm just like, bam, 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 bam. 7 comes, I'm kind of sleepy. That's it. I say goodbye to everyone and I finish my day with work. And then I just have a nice evening at home. So read something, watch something, do something, go to the gym maybe. I don't like doing that because then it's a bit too late and I like going to sleep early. So it's just a bit shifted to my day. It's nice. I got used to it.
All right. If it works for you, then I'm happy for you.
Thank you.
Yeah. I don't know. I think the schedule for me would be like 4 days a week, 9 to 5. Like, I think I could get used to that quite fast, but a girl can dream.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe someday.
Maybe someday. Yeah. Remind me to mention one business idea after we are done recording this podcast, but I have some ideas. So who knows?
Maybe secret business idea.
Yeah, so maybe in some next episode we can talk about that. But anyway, we gathered today to talk about customer support and value in design.
Yeah.
People don't often talk about customer support, so we thought maybe we can share some of our experiences, thoughts, ideas. I have a lot of ideas, and I wish I could utilize customer support data, this raw data that they get every day to improve and better my designs. But anyways, it's not always...
I think the issue is that you're in a large company. So when we got into this, I wasn't sure what we were going to talk about and how we were going to frame the whole episode. But now that you started talking, I started reflecting back on my work, and we are a fairly small company, and the customer support teams are 3 people on one side or 4 people on one side and 1 guy on the other side. And I get to talk to them and I get to approach them and ask for direct responses from the users. So smaller company, I'm having a blast and I'm actually enjoying this conversations with them because I get what the users are struggling with. And it's just amazing.
I completely agree that working in like small company, small startup is much more fun because you get to know people who work in support or, you know, whoever is in touch with customers, and you get to like interview them and learn. Yeah, for me, like I work in pretty much enterprise level company at this point. Mm-hmm. So it's not so easy. And we have over 20 languages and, you know, there's a language barrier problem. How do I understand what people say if they write, you know, alphabet and language that I can't read? Google Translate, sometimes it's not enough. So it's difficult. And how to connect, you know, whatever CRM customer support uses to something that designer and anyone else, for that matter, can read and learn. Those are, you know, the hot topics I would like to talk about. But also...
question.
Please Sorry. Ask.
So the way that your customer service works is I'm a Vault customer. I talk to a customer agent, which is just one person in a farm of 20 people, and then they serve me and they move on with their day. But would you, as a designer from the inside, would you be in a position in which you would... I'm struggling. How would you get to the data, but not all of the data? So how would you get filtered data, which is not reflected on the value of the food, of the stuff? Like, does customer service currently have tags on how is something flagged? So if it's a food issue, I, as a designer, don't care about that. If it's a driver issue or delivery guy issue, I don't care about that. If it's an app issue, I do care about that. So all of those that are tagged as an app issue, send them back to the design team. Or could you get that information at least?
Well, it's not automatic, that's for sure. I'm not aware of any process that would allow us to do that. But that's
could
a good idea.
Could you ask for a process to be set up? Because that would help you. That's your...
Yes, I completely agree. And I mean, this is a great idea. I'm not tackling localization problems. I can't, you know, tackle literally every problem in this universe. But maybe that's something worth like flagging, mentioning again. Because I did mention that before, that we should have like very easy funnel between customer support and designers or whoever. So we could educate ourselves about the, you know, top complaints and stuff like that. Right now, I don't work in consumer groups, so I don't have much value of reading those because it will not affect my work. I work on B2B side, so I'm very far away from consumer at this point. Some projects actually push me a little bit closer there, but in overall, if consumer group devised some good plan to kind of connect support with designers, I wouldn't know about because I'm not there. I remember from my time there, it was pretty much, you know, some presentations put together with head of support or something like that. It was not like a one tool that you just get. Like, for example, I think... Was it Intercom or some tool like that? I remember, I'm not even sure if I'm talking about this company or previous company I worked at, but I remember like accessing Intercom and then filtering through tags and different stuff to kind of get feedback I was looking for. So I think Intercom is a great tool to kind of, basically, I think Intercom is a great CRM for support. That makes things very easy for other stakeholders to jump in and just read some data without, you know, spending hours on learning how to use that tool. But when it comes to customer support in B2B side, because we need to talk about B2C and B2B, it's different customer support for sure. And I know when, you know, you listen to podcasts or videos on YouTube, it's always B2C. It's never B2B. I don't know if you noticed
that. True.
So
yeah.
Yeah.
And it is something that I'm working on as well. So we work with banks who are our clients, and then we have to think about the banks as a client. How do we sell to them? And then how do the banks sell to their own clients? And we had an issue with one bank because they were worried they didn't have enough funneling for the customer support. So if something went wrong, their customer support could not handle if there was an issue with our project. So that's why they didn't want to move forward. It's a thing. So you need to handle your client and then their clients.
Yeah, it's a complex world of B2B. There's always some issue, some legalese or something that bites you in the ass.
Yeah, but it's fun.
It's fun. I mean, I love challenging. I don't like easy. I think consumer is easy. But B2B, that's tough. That's very unexplored. Lack of tools. It's amazing. And
I'm not sure it's unexplored. It's just not talked about because it's industry secrets. And then you do not tell what you learned because you might have to pay a lot of money about what you learned.
Well, I was mostly referring to like tools that would, you know, help you. Because, for example, I explored this one tool called Sprig. Have you ever heard?
No.
Sprig. It's very good-looking, nice marketing and branding tool for making in-app surveys with targeted audience. So basically, you can say, if somebody does X this amount of
that
time. Really? It sounds really good too. And in their suite, they also have like A-B testing and then some design testing. I don't know. Like you can test Figma, make service from that. So I think it's a cool suite for designers and UX researchers and product managers to kind of understand what the hell is happening. But apart from this Sprig, I really didn't see like plethora of other tools that would allow you very easy surveying or just anything, so any easy research that you would easily do. This is basically what I meant when I said it's a bit unexplored. When it comes to B2B, I just wanted to share a little bit my experience just like for a second there. So in B2B world, companies usually have some sort of representative, like a salesperson or some sort of manager that handles client, well, their needs and, you know, setup, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They're their private support, basically. So these people really hear everything, all complaints, all good stuff, everything. So in most cases, if I want to learn something quickly, I don't even have to figure out a way how to go to B2B client and talk with the person. I did that and it was very eye-opening, I have to say. I hope to do that continually, to continue like being in a loop with them. But anyways, if I need a quick info, I just go to a person that is a manager, like account manager, I don't know what's the role. And they will tell everything. They're like, yeah, people are complaining about this, and that. They love this, and that. It's like very pedantic and to the point feedback. You don't have to do anything. Like, okay, message received. Let's fix this. So that's kind of nice, I guess, in B2B. You have like usually one person that knows like a lot.
Okay, definitely agreed on that. What we did with our key representative is we told them, here is a space that we share. And in this space, could you please write down anything that stands out and anything that kind of repeats? So when they have their own interviews, when they have their own chats with the customers, they write down anything that stands out. And then I, as a designer, my product manager can go in and check it out. So it's not something like we have a continuous meeting time because meetings, how to remove the meetings. We have a space together in which we have the notes. And then if something is not clear, we go in and have a chat about it.
Well, that sounds like a really refined process. Who came up with that?
Actually, the three of us. We figured that we don't want to have meetings on a weekly basis about it, and how can we make it no meetings?
Okay, that's great. I mean, I love small teams. Things like shit just gets done. You need something, one meeting, bam, 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 action plan, and you just execute. I wish it's like that in the enterprise world.
No, I know, but you can always make suggestions about making the process better, because
of
this
course.
Is a way you could get the information that you need, and it wouldn't take too much time. So while they're debriefing from their own meetings, just write it down in one other place, or just literally paste it into one other place.
Yeah, I mean, I have really one enterprise experience so far, so my opinions and attitudes and whatnot stems from that one experience. What I learned so far, especially when you work for a unicorn, it's a corporate kind of architecture happening already, because you suggest something, there's like 50 stakeholders that need to see, review, think about it, and then after everybody agrees, there's three more people that actually need to see and approve this. And then one person...
That's terrible.
That already,
that's terrible.
Yeah, it's just slow, like too many cooks in kitchen, I like to say. So it's not that easy, and it's sometimes very hard because it's like hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of people. It's hard to know who to contact about what, like who's the main is this. I'm lucky because I joined like 3 years ago when very big growth was happening, so I kind of remembered. Yeah, I remembered who is what. Like, if I need to do something, I know exactly who to ping and talk and blah blah blah, and things happen. But if you're new, how the hell should you know that that role even exists? To be quite honest, so it's very
honestly
hard
to have some company architecture, like again in one space that you know is going to be updated. We actually use a company tool. It's called Rippling. Mm-hmm. And then in that, you see who is in which team, who is a manager, who has which people underneath them. It's kind of cool.
We also use one of these tools for this kind of problem. But to be quite honest, I don't see anyone going there and trying to find, I need this piece of information. What users think about this pop-up? Let me go to my HR tool to find if we have a person who should be handling. You know, it seems like a little bit far-fetched.
Yeah, you would probably go through Slack or ask someone, who do I ask about this? Yeah.
You just ask like 15 people, and in like a week, you will probably get an answer, and then you can start talking with the right person after, you know, some days.
I would say you need better customer support inside of the company.
Oh, well, we need better support everywhere. But let's talk about positive customer support experiences. So, do you remember like any instances in your life where when something crappy happened, customer support stepped in, and then you were like, they saved. Fuck yeah.
Oh, I can think of two. I'm going to go with the easy one, and then going to go with the
please go
one. The easy one, I ordered some expensive cases for my phone. They were not for my phone. They were I wanted to buy an iPhone 14. I ordered it, and then there was an outage, and I ordered, of course, everything when I ordered the phone. Because I just like to have my things nice. And I got a D brand. I got two cases for it. One case is a pretty purple one. One case is a blue one with some ghosts. Yeah. And then it didn't arrive. And I think I got a call that it arrived around the end of January or beginning of February. So it came out in September. I ordered it, couldn't get it until 3 months later. And then I kind of just forgot about it, and I don't even want it, but I have these cases that I ordered. And the cases were not cheap. They were like $100 together. So it's just not something that you can do something with. And I didn't want to go through the trouble of selling it online somewhere by myself, because it's just stupid. So I contacted the customer support, told them that the cases were literally unopened, gave them pictures, and said, I know that my return window has closed, but could you please look into this? Because I have not used them. They have just been standing here. And they asked me, okay, what do you want to do with them? And I said, well, I want to either return them or you can, I don't know, do something with them. We still did not finish up what do I do with them. But basically, they just gave me my money back and said, okay, that's it. So now I just have the cases and I need to do something with them. I need to contact them about that. But it was just nice and nobody wanted too much information. I was prepared to beg. I was prepared to explain myself. Why did I feel like that? Blah, blah, blah. So that was a very, very positive one. Questions?
Questions? Opinions. That was the brand.
No, that was Pella case.
Ah, okay. I never heard of those, but yeah, it seems that these like smaller companies that produce some hardware are actually always magnificent in customer support. They will do everything for customer. Do you have
okay?
You have one more story. Is it better than one?
Yeah.
Please, I'm very curious. Please let me. I want to hear it.
Okay, so the other one is Airbnb. I was traveling to Berlin and I had a connecting flight in Frankfurt, let's say. I booked an Airbnb like a month ahead and it was a very nice place. It was close to the conference that I was going. It was awesome. The reviews were nice. And I started traveling literally from my home to the airport and the person contacts me and says, hey, this is a friend from the person that you booked with. That person is currently traveling outside of the country and she unfortunately double booked. So can you like stay in a different apartment or a hotel or something? And this is my phone number. So we're gonna be in contact. And all of the red flags went off in my head. I'm like, I'm not doing that. You want my kidneys. I'm not giving away my kidneys. And I contacted the customer support, and in the hour and a half that I had of transfer time on the Frankfurt airport, they managed to find a person and put me in a different apartment. And mind you, I was arriving at 11 p.m. and the person met with me at 11:30 p.m.
Ouch.
So it was just amazing. Yeah. I was so, so, so happy. First of all, I felt safe when I arrived there. Second of all, the person that I talked to with first figured out that I'm out of my mind and just like stressed as hell. And he said, hey, my shift is right now ending. I'm going to move you to a different client, but I will check in tomorrow just to see how this went. And I wish you all the best. So the humanity of it really, really felt nice. And it was just nice to feel that a person is trying to take care of me and just to make sure that I'm safe somewhere.
That's brilliant. That's absolutely brilliant. And this is something that will strike you like as amazing experience and you will come back to it. I have not very similar, but it's a booking story from last week. So,
oh, right.
Did I tell you that? No.
Oh, no, you just hinted something, but I'm curious.
Oh, my God. Okay, so a month ago, I went with Caro to Tallinn, Estonia, to just have like a getaway weekend. And this time, I said, I don't want to do shit. You organize everything. I will just send you money. And she did. She's a great organizer. She's like same paranoid type as I am. So everything was agendized and we had calendar invites and everything was digital, like shared, blah, blah. So, and she managed to find one hotel, Revelton in Tallinn. Warm recommendation. If you're ever in Tallinn, you need to book that one, Revelton.
Okay. So noted.
Yeah. So that's for everybody, like big, huge recommendation. So, it's a, like a villa, with like 5-6 suites. And that's all. That's a hotel. So we went there and just upon entering, I was like, whoa, what is this? This is beautiful, modern, clean. It had like 9.9 review on booking.com or something, which is like incredible, having thousands of reviews. I mean, you probably are doing something really good. Everything was so nice. You know, user experience, top notch. Everything had a place for one particular reason. Like, everything was designed. And I was blown away. I was like, oh, this is great. I need to come back here. I'm going to book another trip, like in a month or so. Immediately, right now, for myself. I'll just come here to work from this hotel just to change the scenery a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to my phone, the booking.com app, and like I booked and bought ferry tickets. A month later comes day of departure. I booked this cheaper ferry line, and I will never in my life use that ferry again, because these 2.5 hours are most disgusting 2.5 hours you can imagine, Helena. Like, you don't have anywhere to sit. Everything is super massively dirty, and people behave there like, I don't know, like everyone is drunk, crazy, or something else. And this weekend when I went, there was a horde of teenagers with loads of alcohol in their bags because their school break started. I was like, why? Why now? So, yeah. And also, it was super bad weather, so the boat was shaking quite a lot. And I was, like, feeling sick. I'm like, wow, you're getting seasickness in your old age, Antonia? Nice. What is next? And, okay, well, I am, you know, coming closer to Tallinn. And yeah, I started getting like messages like, oh, welcome to Estonia. Your mobile provider will be blah, blah, blah. Price is this. And of course, messages starts to pop. And I get the message from Booking. Welcome to Citybox Tallinn. And I'm like looking, what's that? And I tap on it and it leads me to my Booking app. And I'm looking at like my trips. That's how they call like these bookings that you have active. I don't see Revelton anywhere. I just see some city box. And I'm like,
oh, shitty box.
Oh my God, you stupid idiot. You booked the wrong hotel.
How did you do that?
I don't know. I will just say, I think booking.com app is not the best in UX. I sometimes really don't know what am I viewing. Like, what is the context of this full screen model? Very frequently, I'm not really sure. So I was like comparing prices and dates and different things. And it could be that I just went so deep in hierarchy that I thought that I was in Revelton, but I was not. And, you know, shit happens. So, yeah, I'm like approaching Tallinn. You know, the ferry is parking in Marina. And I'm like, oh, and it was also like a bit late. And I'm like, oh my God, I booked the wrong hotel. This is horrible. Like, the whole point of this trip was to be in that hotel, not the other hotel. Oh my God. And now the part with good customer support comes. So, first thing, I went to Booking app and I canceled two nights there. So I decided, okay, I will just stay one night here because this Revelton, they didn't have available room. During my whole stay. I mean, I was already in Tallinn, so, you know, it was magical that they had two nights. I was 3 days there in total, and then I went back, so very short. So I booked immediately, like, remainder of these two nights in this Revelton, and that was fine. But I had to cancel these two nights in this city box. It was canceled, even though, like, some, you know, this, like, tooltip said, like, 24 hours wait for response, blah blah blah. They canceled it within 3 seconds, and that was nice. Next day, I'm supposed to be in this hotel and just work normally. No, but the next day was absolute hell because I had to move hotels in the middle of the day, and also check in for Revelton was like 3:30, and check out in the city box was 12 or 11, something like that. And I had meetings, like Monday was crazy, you know, just like meetings everywhere. And I was like, huh, I don't know. I can't this is horrible. I really need to plan my steps, literally, how am I going to... And in morning, I send the message to this hotel, Revelton. Hey, hi. So, yeah, I'm stupid. So I booked the wrong hotel and now I'm in a pickle. I have millions of meetings and I need to just be in the city for like almost 4 hours. I don't know where to be. Oh my God, please help me. Next message. Okay, okay. We already sent a cleaner to get your room ready. Your check-in is available from 12:30. I'm like, oh my God, that's still nice. It's like 3 hours in advance.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how much do I need to pay this? And they said, it's for free. And then some lady waited for me when I came there. And we were laughing together how stupid I was to book the wrong hotel. And she even wanted to buy me some coffee.
I'm like, that's like, cute.
That's nice. I mean, that was a little bit longer story, but that's nice. And I liked it first time I was there. This time, they just cemented as like number one place in Tallinn for me. Like, I love them. They're the best.
But honestly, what did the customer support get them? So what did it cost them? Probably nothing, because the person was just rotated to clean your room first. Nobody cares. It's their job already. It costed them nothing. And what it got them is a huge commercial, a huge advertisement. You recommended it to me. You recommended it to other people. It's just good, good behavior. But I would again say that it was probably one person's decision and not like they didn't contact anyone in upper management or anything. They decided it fits with their company values. So it sounds like a really, really great place to be.
Yeah, I mean, and they showed like these signs of really good customer support in our first trip. It's completely automated villa, so you just come in with PIN code. There is nobody there on the reception because there is no reception. But if you need something, they have WhatsApp. That's always available. You can just call them, send a message. They're messaging you like friends, you know. So yeah, I left them like one big fat 10-star review on booking. And that's really nice. And then after I left, they gave me like a code for a discount if I want to return next time. I'm like, yeah, of course I'm going to come back. See you in a few months, probably. I love you.
You're my family now.
Your family. Yeah, I want to live here forever. I want to permanently like buy one suite there. Just move there.
Oh, in theory, you can ask for a discount.
Do we have time for a couple, like one you, one me, like horror stories from customer support?
Okay, but quick ones. Okay. You go first because I don't have any horror stories. I just don't reply to them anymore.
Mm. Okay. I don't have like some super, super horrible because I pay a premium price for all the services I use because I want customer support to be perfect. But one time I ordered something with another food and stuff delivery app. What? Everything was closed in my primary one, so I went to see what's open in the other one. It's a free world.
Just window shopping, you know how it goes. That's what you get. That's what you get for going to the competition.
Yeah, karma hit me immediately. I was bitch slapped just like that. So I went to eat pizza very late. So there was like one pizza place that was open and willing to deliver, and I went to this unnamed delivery app and ordered. But you know, the app itself is a little bit buggy and laggy, so something happened and they processed the order twice and they charged me twice. So I paid for one slimy shitty pizza like 50 euros. I was livid. Oh my God. And of course, first reaction is, oh my God, I need to contact customer support, we need to repair this. They don't have customer support. It's like sent maybe email, and they responded like 1 week later or never. I don't know. I don't think I ever heard.
What?
I don't remember any touch point. I just remembered, oh my God, this is the last time I ordered. I will never. I deleted the app
for
like that second.
That's terrible.
That's shitty. I have to say, like, you don't do business like that. I mean, really shame.
That's very bad. For me, I think I had some negative experiences. Usually they're positive and I only remember the positive ones. I think I just ghost them after I feel it's going to be negative. Oh, okay. I have one Croatian post service.
Wait, I ordered
Croatian post service.
Oh no. Okay. You also have something, but we don't have time. Please go.
We don't have time. I ordered something and I kind of needed it. It was a birthday gift. I needed it that day. It was like, please deliver it by that day. It's going to be awesome. Yes, they are going to deliver it that day. So my office is located on an X balcony. I have huge windows. I see the road. I see the guy. I know at what time the post arrives. It was, let's say, it's usually at 10 a.m. I see the guy. He is in his little yellow cabbie thing. Okay, it's gonna arrive. I go to the thing that you buzz him in. Nothing is happening. Nobody is ringing.
No.
I go downstairs, so four floors, and then nothing is happening. There's no one there. There's nothing there. And
what?
I see just like a small piece of paper that says,
no,
pick it up. And the best kicker is you can only pick it up the next day. So you cannot pick it up this day. Yeah. And I was very, very annoyed. I wrote them an email and I even forgot about that. And I think a month later, I explained my situation. I told them that I was seeing the delivery guy and he was just parked there and left me a paper. And by the time I arrived, he was already gone. And they said, a month later, we investigated the situation. It did not happen like you said. You were not at home. That is it. And it's like, literally, fuck you.
You know what? Courier services are the worst. They have the worst customer support and worst service. Let's continue talking about customer support. Maybe mention couriers, customer support
as well. We can talk about courier services.
Let's have part two. I think we need one because I have more stories. And I worked in customer support back in Croatia. So I have stories.
Okay.
We need to explore
stories.
This deeper. Yes.
Stories are announced.
Yeah, thank you for joining me in this episode. This was super fun. Can't wait to publish it. That's all from me. I hope you listeners also enjoyed first installation of the value of customer support. See you next time. I will hand it to you, Helena, to say
I'm
final
not going to say how much of value customer support it was. It was a bit of a banter episode, but stay tuned for volume 2. See ya.